then Upjohn Company. And when she also won an internship to go to the Jacques Cousteau Institute in Monaco, but she was always interested in fish and water, and she was a scuba diver and all that sort of thing. In fact, as I say, she was the athlete in the family.
Yeah.
She was the first one to scuba dive. She was the first one to ski. Mm-hmm. She was the first one to I think she did free-falling parachuting from an airplane.
Dear.
I mean, that her brothers haven't caught up with her
yet. Right.
But they have already accepted the other things and are heavy into the, all of those things.
Did she go to the Cousteau?
And she went.
Okay, we'll turn it off now.
Okay. So the... she came back, and she was able to tour Europe and come back, and so the company that had accepted her for the job kept it open, and she went to work for them in October of that year. The Upjohn Pharmaceutical Company. It's since merged, but it still has Upjohn in its name.
Yeah.
Pharmacia Upjohn is what it's called now.
Is she still with them?
She's still with them. So she's been with them over 20 years now.
Oh, my.
It's sort of interesting. We sort of look at our careers. My career as a judge, Tom's career in the public relations business, Ellen's career with the Upjohn Company. We all started the same year. Tom and Ellen Tom was home when I got sworn in, but Ellen was not, because she was over in France, right, in Monaco. So John was here. I'm pretty sure. I should have a picture of that somewhere. I seem to think that I saved it. Yeah, well, wait, here it is. This is the proof of the pudding. And, who all was there? Yeah, John, Tom, and a lot of family members. My mother and her husband, Perry Cooper, and my aunt and my mother-in-law and her two sisters. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, that was the day that I got sworn in. Right.
That's beautiful. Tell me, Ellen is married?
Ellen got married 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a little boy now, who is I guess it was more than 10 years ago. Why do I say 10 years ago? I have to think it was... She was 29 when she got married.
Mm-hmm.
And she's now 41.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, she just had her 12th wedding anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And
her son is how old?
He's 8.
Mm-hmm.
She got married on during Sukkot. Mm-hmm. So the nice thing about that, and we have a picture of this one too, is that we didn't have to worry about a chuppah, because we used the sukkah. We used the sukkah as the chuppah. And in fact, you can see the pumpkins in this picture.
Oh, yes. She's a lovely-looking young lady.
Yeah.
She's quite handsome, too.
Yeah, he is a really good-looking guy.
So all your children had some Jewish content in their lives as they grew up.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. Oh, yeah. Always at home, we always tried to light the candles on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
We always had a tradition of literally celebrating the Shabbat. It was when we came back from the service, we would be at my usually at my mother-in-law's house for Shabbos, then eventually later on when it became more difficult for her. Then Natalie started to take over, and but yeah, the whole family would come for mm-hmm. dinner. I mean, we had the whole Goldstein family. Oh. In the old days, at Sadie Adler's house, the patriarch was not my father-in-law, but Eli Goldstein,
the urologist.
He was a urologist. He was a urologist, exactly. Mm-hmm. And
did the children go to temple? Is that it?
Yeah.
Is that where they
went? The children all went to temple. We mm-hmm. decided after I'd been out of the service and we sort of shopped around. We knew that we were both brought up in Reformed congregations, mm-hmm. and that we would be joining a Reformed congregation. So it was really just a question of whether we were going to join Sinai or Road of Shalom. And Natalie had been confirmed there, and so we did.
Opted for Road.
Right.
Did the children learn Hebrew?
The boys did. It wasn't in those days when Ellen went through. In fact, she seems to be a little resentful when we talk about it these days. Although I think she's just joking. But how come I never got a chance to learn Hebrew? And it just wasn't encouraged. Although quite frankly, there were. I know at the time Tom had his bar mitzvah, mm-hmm. and he was like the 12th kid to ever be bar mitzvah out of Rosh Hashanah, because Dr. Freehawk, as the spiritual leader of the congregation, really didn't believe in bar mitzvah. Mm-hmm. He felt that, and at least this is the reason he gave, he felt that it was much more important for kids to continue their Jewish education to confirmation. And that if you have a bar mitzvah, you're going to drop out. I'm not sure that necessarily would have been the case at Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah, it was a real social thing to have been a conferment from Rosh Hashanah congregation. And
but the boys were both bar mitzvah.
But both were bar mitzvah.
And did she have a bat mitzvah, or they didn't?
Did not. They did have it. In fact, the very first bar mitzvah at Rosh Hashanah was a bat mitzvah.
I see.
And but she didn't. Mm-hmm. We'd never gotten into the training, and she'd never given an indication that this is what she wanted.
I see.
Obviously, she had said, that indicated that preference. And we still were of the mentality, that
it wasn't that
big a deal. It's not something girls do. And
now, did you observe at home the holidays?
Yeah, if we were home at Hanukkah, we always lit the candles. We still do that to this very day. And back
then, well, Rosh Hashanah and
those were always the big days. We always have a home seder, first of all. I mean, just to take the
at
holidays.
At your own home, or
initially, I guess we did it over at my in-laws. Mm-hmm. But from the time we got back after we were in the service, mm-hmm. we always had it here. And I would lead the Seder. Mm-hmm. And I've done that now for many years.
Do they come home now for the Seder? From wherever
the
they are?
The kids? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. They will if Passover happens to coincide with a weekend that they can mm-hmm. come home. There has been a Passover, I know at least one, where Pam and Tom came up from Florida. I'm not sure how that came to pass, but it must mm-hmm. have been a convenient thing. Mm-hmm. But normally, since he moved that distance, we very rarely get together. John will come in frequently, and some friends come in from him. Mm-hmm. And we'll be there if it's possible. But with our extended family includes not only the five of us that are our own family and the grandchildren, but includes Natalie's entire family, mm-hmm. and she had all of these aunts and uncles who never got married. You start mm-hmm. with Eli Goldstein, and then you have Jean, and you have Lil, and you have Henry. Mm-hmm. And of course, at this recording now, Lil was the only one left. Mm-hmm. Henry having passed away in November, mm-hmm. which was, I think, we started recording this thing, I think, before then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right after.
Right. I knew he
but,
had.
But, you know, it wasn't at all unusual to have, you know, that kind of an extended family. The, this is, for instance, Tom and Pam's wedding. I think that's what that is.
Why, you have the whole family there.
But that was down in Florida.
And they all came down
yeah.
to the occasion.
Yeah.
Now, when your children don't come home, for example, for Passover, do you and Natalie join other members of your family for a Seder?
Oh, yeah. Well, we still have it here.
Oh, you
now,
have
the,
it here.
I haven't finished with the extended family
oh.
here, because also in the family are my brother-in-law. Dr. Adler.
Oh, yes, Larry Adler.
Right, yeah.
Could you turn it? So you have a number of extended
yes.
family.
So that, I, my brother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
he has since divorced from his wife, but
mm-hmm.
but she was part of
the family. Mm-hmm.
And then his two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've always been part of the... extended family. Whenever we do anything, it was always together.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, getting a group together on Shabbos could be a pretty big event,
right,
and certainly a Seder.
Yeah.
You know, the kids would come home from college
mm-hmm.
when they were in college to be for the Seder. That would frequently happen.
Yeah.
And they, in some cases, would come in for the High Holy Days as well,
mm-hmm.
depending on what the school schedule was.
Right.
If they could get away, they would do that.
Did you encourage that,
Oh, sure.
That they come home
was just,
if at all possible?
It was just part of the, I mean, no one really questioned that. You know, if it was possible, they wouldn't miss classes and
mm-hmm.
things of that nature, you know, we would do it. And we still have, up until this very time, we have Larry Adler's two kids
mm-hmm.
who are... were very close to their cousins, and they would come in, and we have one now, the youngest, Aaron, is graduating from Michigan this year.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going up for his graduation at Ann Arbor.
So there's a real closeness.
Yeah, 2 years ago when Jason graduated from medical school at Tufts,
mm-hmm.
we all went to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
For that, and by that I meant Tom came in from Florida with one of the little girls, and when this nephew that I told you about before, who came in at Thanksgiving time, because
yeah.
Thanksgiving was always a big deal,
mm-hmm.
when he and his wife got married,
mm-hmm.
we all went to Dallas, Texas,
mm-hmm.
for that event, and we got that picture up here somewhere.
That's
okay. But, we trust. No, I mean, this is in Dallas.
Texas. Oh,
my. So, and as
together.
Yeah, but family members would die. My mother died. My wife's mother passed away, and her father, and...
everybody
and,
lives together.
Yeah, and... So this was a surviving group, which included Larry Adler and his two kids. You know, so I mean, it was.
Which are his two children?
Well, in this picture, we've got Aaron and Jason back there. There's Larry back there in this picture, and
that's
this is
cute.
John. But you know, here's Ellen and Michael, and
mm-hmm.
but this is my nephew. Who I talked about in a prior point. So this family has really been an important thing.
Yes. Well, I know it's important to you. You talked before about family.
And,
tell me, did you keep kashrut here in your home?
No, we never did. My grandparents did. I remember going to my maternal grandparents in Washington, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and they kept kosher.
Your parents?
But my parents never kept kosher. Dad gave them. They both came from Orthodox homes.
Yes.
But they
mm-hmm.
didn't feel the need for it, and
mm-hmm.
I certainly don't feel the need
mm-hmm.
for it. I think a lot of people that do keep kosher do it to
because they have friends who keep kosher, and they want their friends to be able to feel that they can come to their house and,
be
part of it.
Tell me, what do you think? Do you think that the way you raised your children were similar to the way you were raised?
I think so.
Do you?
I think so, because in my own home, and I guess in my wife's home too, they did these things.
Mm-hmm.
It was just part of what you were doing.
That you accepted.
Yeah, I think one of the things where Natalie and I were very fortunate, we really had very similar backgrounds, although we didn't know each other,
right.
or we weren't. But there just seemed to be similar value systems, and I think that's so important for young people getting married today to be able to have the good fortune.
Yes.
To be able to meet someone who has developed a very similar value system over the years, and it's part of their family tradition.
Right. And this is interesting too, that the two children who are married to Jewish members of the Jewish community, so that something came through in the way you brought them up that made them feel comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I still think, though, in this day and age, and having been a judge who's had to perform only interfaith marriages for the most part, and sought out for that purpose, a lot of it's luck.
Yeah.
A lot of it is luck. Because you can get involved with someone in the course of your young adulthood and really have a wonderful relationship, and at that point in your life you're really not thinking about what's going to happen later, how are the kids going to be raised. But, you know, right off the bat, it was really important that our parents get along well together with each other. The machatan. That whole thing, I think, is really important. You don't have to...
Mm-hmm. Tell me, as your children were growing up, were you active in the Jewish community, per se?
Yeah, very much so, and I'd like to think that a lot of that more often the kids, too,
mm-hmm.
so they got into this tradition. In regard to my temple, just as I had done as I told you about Hillel at the University of Pennsylvania, when I came back to town, Natalie and I got and we selected our congregation. We got very much involved in the Rodef Sholem Junior congregation, which was the young marrieds up to age 35, and I eventually became president of the junior congregation.
Mm-hmm.
After chairing a number of committees, social committees, and things of that nature. We owe a lot of our friendships today and our to those years that we developed at Rodef Sholem Junior Congregation. Right.
Are you still active there?
I probably have served more years on the board of that congregation than any other person alive today, which is a product of shortening board terms by their bylaws and things of that nature. In those days, you got elected for 4 years, then you could be reelected for another four. And if you were serving as an officer, then you could continue to be elected to the board. And I have spent, I believe, a total of some 23 years. On the board of trustees of that congregation. I eventually became a vice president of the congregation, but then the terms ran out, and other people ultimately succeeded to the presidency, something that I certainly have no resentment about whatsoever. So I sort of, my brother-in-law is now on the board there, so I figure at least a representative of the family is carrying on.
Have your children followed that tradition in their marriage life of joining a temple?
I still haven't been able quite to convince my bachelor son in Baltimore that he should affiliate, but he's been involved. He's even been involved in fundraisers for Jewish causes.
How about Tom?
So he has it, but Tom, well, just to give you an example, today Tom is on the board of the Temple of Beth El in Boca Raton,
mm-hmm.
which is the largest Reformed congregation south of Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
which includes Atlanta. When we were down there visiting, my granddaughter was in a fourth grade service on Shabbos, which we went to.
Mm-hmm.
They were out of town. They were skiing.
Yeah.
but we went with the Makatonim, and who we're very close to.
Mm-hmm.
And that evening in the fourth grade service at Temple Beth El, there were 106 participants. There were 1,000 people in the audience that night. This is a family service. It's a huge congregation.
Yes, yes.
They have major traffic problems on Sunday school. Sunday school.
How about Ellen? Does she belong to the temple here?
Oh, yeah. She belongs to Rosh Hashanah.
She does. So they've carried on that tradition.
Yeah, they both belong. I indicated what Tom's involvement was. Tom was man of the year for the Jewish National Fund down there,
mm-hmm.
and we went down to a recognition
That's
dinner that
beautiful.
They had for him. Ellen, on the other hand, has became very much involved in young adult
mm-hmm.
activities. The UJF Young Business and Professional Group, which she chaired,
mm-hmm.
she's been on the national board of the United Jewish Federation Young
Mm-hmm.
People's board or women's board. I'm not sure exactly which.
What is her full name? Ellen.
Ellen Terry Kaplan Goldstein, and she uses every one of them.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, she doesn't hyphenate it, but she uses every one of them.
Good.
And a lot of her friends call her Terry because or E.T. She's a very ardent member right now of the Jewish Family and Children's Center's board.
Good.
She and her husband were honored as the Young Couple of the Year and roasted accordingly by the Israel Bonds, in which
yeah.
they're active.
Yeah.
Michael is now serving as the president of the Pittsburgh chapter of the American Jewish Committee.
Oh, nice.
So they're every bit as involved,
exactly.
which is a job that I had at one time,
yeah.
so it's sort of a joke.
You
that
must be very proud.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's great to see
in their own lives.
There's a lot of smelling that goes on around
oh,
here.
Oh, yes, there should be.
Yeah. So,
tell me, other than your professional area of expertise, did you, and being involved, as you said, in Jewish communal activities, were there other things like civil rights groups that you were? Was that kind of thing of interest to you?
Yeah, that was definitely
the birth
of Israel. You've got to understand that I believe very strongly in prophetic Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
Prophetic Judaism meaning that we have an absolute obligation of tikkun olam, of repairing
the
land, and that... that's part of what we have to do.
Right.
And it's because of, I don't know if it's because of that. You know, you don't consciously think in those terms. You,
right.
you react in the way that you've been brought up and the things that you've been taught and you've absorbed. So I have always been involved in social action wherever
that's
possible.
What I wondered,
yeah. I, for over 25 years, have been a pretty active member, well, sort of off and on, with the then called National Conference of Christians and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It's now called the National Conference for Community and Justice, using the same letters, and I've mm-hmm. served as their regional chairperson
mm-hmm.
For a period of time. I have been involved with drug treatment programs. I was, as a lawyer, I helped incorporate and handled the zoning problems for an organization called Alpha House, which is a halfway house for drug addicts who are trying to get back. And I still serve on their board, having been their lawyer for a while. And that's been for almost 25 years. When I was serving as a lawyer, we did a lot of pro bono work, and one of the areas I was always interested in was minority business development. And I did some consulting work along that line in Homewood and things of that nature. And I'm about to get my mail delivered here.
Tell me, what would you...
But that involves lots of other things. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes, well, I have some of that on your...
You have the you have my bio, so you know. So you
what
know.
What would you consider was your most significant accomplishments or achievements over the years? Where would you focus and say, this is what I felt was significant?
That's a real good question, Cheryl. And I've asked myself that question.
Have you?
Because I have difficulty just pulling one thing out over the other.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to just start and hit different highlights,
mm-hmm.
I guess my serving as president of the junior congregation at Bedershawn Temple,
mm-hmm.
which I think I have this gavel.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, yeah. This,
I think serving as the president of the Pittsburgh chapter of the American Jewish Committee, which I felt to be a very important organization. You've got to realize that AJC is a human relations organization and devoted to
the American Jewish
Committee.
Committee, not yeah. Congress.
Not Congress, although I do belong to Congress. I'm just a card-carrying member.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as I'm a card-carrying member of the ACLU and a couple others, just because I think the work they do is important and deserves to be supported, mm-hmm. but I'm not active.
Right,
so.
Right. General view.
Getting elected judge, I thought was had to be, I guess, one of the major events in my life, and it's sort of molded my life. Obviously for the last 20 years,
it
gave me
something you look forward to in your as an attorney that perhaps one day you would become a judge, or did that just kind of fall into place?
I think it's the latter.
Mm-hmm.
I never aspired.
You didn't.
To that that position, and the reason I ultimately gave serious thought to it,
mm-hmm.
in my practice of law, which was primarily in the area of estate planning,
mm-hmm.
and tax planning, which interesting enough is now what my two sons are involved in.
Yeah.
By no design,
right?
Believe me.
Right.
So we can talk the same language. And my son-in-law, by the way, is an accountant. Is a tax accountant. Is very much involved in that area of work as well. And
you've been in so many different aspects of it. What is there something that stands out for you or no? The judgeship, definitely.
The judgeship, okay. Definitely, and most recently,
mm-hmm.
Being given the opportunity to serve as the president of the Pennsylvania Bar Institute.
Okay.
You've got to realize that the Pennsylvania Bar Institute is the statewide continuing legal education arm
mm-hmm.
of the bar.
Okay.
And as such, this continuing legal education,
mm-hmm.
CLE as we call it, arm of the Bar Association,
mm-hmm.
it gave me the opportunity in a leadership role to do something really significant
mm-hmm.
for my profession.
Right. Mm-hmm.
See, I think an individual has responsibilities in this life that they are mandated to take care of. I think your initial and perhaps most important obligations to your family,
mm-hmm.
Which I Manley reminds me from time to time, at least in my early days, I was so much involved in these extracurricular activities, mm-hmm. and as well as my profession,
mm-hmm.
that I didn't spend quite the time with the family that I probably should have. I think if I had it to do over, I would have found a way to do more of that. I don't think the family suffered as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware of anything happening.
Mm-hmm.
So
but you may have missed things.
Yeah, I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
I really did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of trying to make up for that. But,
mm-hmm.
The grandparents do that anyhow. The family first, and then profession.